This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 11 recap podcast. We are here tonight to talk about the first episode of our Who Done It week. It's the week of Who Done It's, and Rob, that is not the Who Done It we know and love. It's this Who Done It.
Who Done It week is afoot.
It's afoot.
Wherever you are,
Taryn. Happy belated birthday, Taryn.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Do you have any Giles sound bites for me?
No, I think that was pre-soundboard in terms of 10 years ago.
Your impressions were so good that in my memory, they're sound bites.
Yeah. I don't even know if we knew how to do sound bites yet at that point in time. But really, they've just co-opted Whodunit Week.
Truly, truly they have. Well, we're here to talk about it on this Tuesday night. And as you heard, Rob is with us. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm okay. This was an episode of television.
Yeah. I don't usually find myself feeling this way when I'm watching TV shows, but I was really just thinking like, man, where's my scandals? Mm-hmm. Need more scandal in this show.
Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of people balancing a checkbook tonight.
Yeah. Have you ever written a check, Rob?
I have, yes. Yeah. Okay. Do I give off the impression that I am somebody who has not written a check?
No.
Yeah.
Just figured I'd ask, you know, be polite.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's like a question you'd ask like Jacob Jones. I feel like that I give off like, you know, check writing energy.
I think Jacob Jones could be twice his age and still have never written a check.
Very possible.
I think Jacob Jones strikes me as the kind of person that'd be like, write my own checks, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also with us here is not Jacob Jones, but it is Asia. How you doing, Asia?
Hello. I'm sorry. I am getting over watching this episode. I mean just one commercial after another, checks over checks. Suspicions over suspicions. But I'm here. I'm excited to talk about it, I think.
Happy belated birthday to you too, Asia.
Thank you.
Asia is my yearly birthday reminder.
Yeah.
She always knows when it's our birthday.
This is the second year in a row where after a podcast, I was like, hey, Taryn, what are you doing for your birthday? He's like, oh, wow, that isn't a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. That one really snuck up on me. Well, another person that sneaks up on me in Goose Goose Duck is Kirsten. How you doing, Kirsten?
I'm doing well, Taryn. Who done it? More like, who was this for? Am I right?
I I think the true intro, instead of this being the intro,
Who Done It Week is afoot.
I think this was the more appropriate intro given what we actually are getting from Who Done It Week.
Welcome to Who Done It Week?
Oh, sweet, sweet Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. They really did him dirty. That was rough. That was who donut week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, do you think it was a case of like the no spaces, or he just truly hasn't heard who done it?
I think it's the no spaces. Like, not everybody is reading mystery novels. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird word.
Like, is it even a word? I think that's up for debate.
That's the argument.
That's fair enough. Is whodunit a real word? Mm-hmm. It is in the dictionary.
Can you play it in Scrabble?
I doubt it.
Oh my God. Get it the Scrabble dictionary out.
Yeah.
Look, we have to be creative with this recap podcast because I don't know what else we have to talk about.
So can I ask a question about the rules of what happened tonight? Did they raise the prize from $100,000 to $150,000 and then you were able to gamble $50,000 of the new prize pool?
I mean, I think saying they raised the prize pool is disingenuous because I think that this was just designed for someone to bid $50,000.
Yes. But if somebody who did not bid, like, I guess they all bid something. And so whoever ends up winning, it was not just like only the winning bid was accepted. Everybody bid, like your bid was binding.
Yeah.
I mean, like bid $25,000 that he is playing if he wins to win only $125,000 now.
It's everybody. The prize pool is whoever gets it, whoever put in the highest amount, that amount is taken from the prize pool from everyone.
From everyone. Okay. So they made $150,000 and then they took the $50,000 out. It was like the hokey pokey of prize money.
Basically, it was a huge air quotes. We raised the
Why
amount.
Didn't they all bid $50,000?
Exactly.
I know.
Rob, they're dumb. I don't know what else to say. Every single person where we were getting their thought process sounded like an idiot. And I try to stay positive mostly in life, but I was just sitting there like, what are you doing? Like, it started with Daniel, who made a mathematically... Like, if he thought he was winning with that guess, then his guess on the tiebreaker was mathematically impossible. They all were just acting dumb.
Honestly, Ty bidding $50,000 and saying that the average bid was going to be $49,999 might have been the like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Everybody's going to bid 50. Maybe one person will bid like $49,900. Maybe one person. Everybody's going to bid $50,000.
Yeah, it was like Daniel assumed someone would bid like a dollar because they're like, no, I want all 150. But I did not understand the average. How did two people say that the average was going to be $25,050? Where did that come from?
And the thing, too, is that it felt like the second they got to the table, they were like, I know someone put 50. I know it. It's not going to surprise me. Excuse me?
And see, that's the thing. If you like, in your brain, you should know people are putting 50,000. So, like, if you don't want to win, maybe you should bid something low and wild to throw off the average for the tiebreaker. I don't know.
Just
maybe
to mess
that
with
could
them.
Be fun. Yeah, just for fun. Because, like, if you're not bidding 50K, then you don't want to win. So at least you could have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
The $39,000 guess, like Shania, what were you? There was just no logic. It's literally 50,000 or a complete throwaway answer.
Yeah.
Claudia puts in 43. What? Really? And then when Renee was like 22,000, wait. I was like, okay. 24,000.
Mm-hmm. Not even half.
No.
I think that a lot of the people went into the competition really thinking, okay, everyone is going to be trying to up the prize pool because we are going to get more money. And so what people are going to bid on the low end because we're going to raise the prize pool. And it's like, first of all, no. Like, I know that everybody gives a lot of crap every year. Oh, the BB Can prize is only 100,000, blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, it's tax-free and there's other prizes. And second of all, it's never going to be enough money that you're not going to ever have to work again anyways. So I really am like, who cares? Like, it's not going to be retirement money ever. So, like, who cares?
What if you were really old and you won it?
I mean, how old? I feel like you'd have to be really old for the 100K to take you to the end of life.
I mean, it's also like this isn't a full 50K. Right? Like, if you're expecting that people are going to at least put like 20 to 25, then it's like 25K. Which means if you're not putting 50, you are anticipating that there's a world where you are the only one that put 50K and everybody else put at least, put at most 25. So you're missing out on $25,000. You then win this HOH, go on to win the game, and you've cost yourself $25,000. And that world just doesn't exist. The chances of you winning alone are still pretty low. And the chance of you being the only person to put 50K here are also very, very, even lower than your chances of winning the game, in my opinion.
Do we think that potentially they thought they were bidding in Wendy's points?
Well, okay, no. Wendy's points I would be a lot more precious with. I will be honest. Yeah.
Carson, can you retire with 100,000 Wendy's points?
I've got to tell you, I haven't been to a Wendy's in so long. I don't even know what a Wendy's point is worth on the street. So I'm sorry. I cannot help you with that. I think, though, that this competition is like the most insight we're going to get on how these house guest brains really work without live feeds. Because it's like, okay, they were given kind of a logic puzzle. And how are they approaching it? It could tell you a lot about them.
Not great.
It didn't tell me good things, but now I kind of feel like I know them a little bit.
Yeah, on that Wendy's point, I haven't been to a Wendy's in years either.
Wendy's because points.
The point on the Wendy's points, because when I was in college, I had a Wendy's in my dorm that was open from 6 a.m. to 4 a.m. So I've already had a lifetime supply of Wendy's.
They close for 2 hours? Why?
Yeah, just to clean up.
Yeah, that's when you do inventory, Slackers. I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for every $1 you spend at Wendy's, you will earn 10 points. And then how much do you redeem them?
$1 you spend at Wendy's, you get 10 points. So the prize for Big Brother Canada is actually 1 million Wendy's points?
Wow.
I guess. I mean if you spend the Karen, full prize at Wendy's.
Shouldn't they run with that?
They should,
to
be honest.
The Big Brother Canada house guests are playing for 1 million Wendy's points.
Well, the points do expire, though, so you might not want to spend the full 100K on Wendy's to get the points.
How much can you get with your points?
Okay, so a small seasoned potatoes, 250 points.
How much would that cost in money?
Well, so that would mean that you would spend...
$2.50.
No, wouldn't that be $25? You get 10 points per dollar?
$250. Well, oh my gosh, we sound like
the equivalent exchange. Basically, what we're saying is that like the points are 1-to-1 with cents, which means that each point is worth a tenth of a cent.
Each point, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not the one who should be doing that.
Wait, so your Wendy's has seasoned potatoes?
We get a Wendy's credit card.
Instead of like fries?
Honestly, Asia, it's news to me too.
Like I thought they had
baked potatoes and french fries. Seasoned potatoes, it's a whole new world. I might have to get Wendy's.
Who knew?
Ooh, you've been influenced.
Oh my God. Never mind. I can't get it if I've been influenced by VCAN.
was Rob, what are your thoughts? Was this interesting for you to watch as a competition?
No, it was, and it went on so long. It went so long with every single person right about this, and I felt like, okay, this was intriguing for like the like first like 5 minutes, but we were like 27 minutes into the show and people were still getting up and like, okay, all right, so it says here I get to bid, and we get to see so much of this.
Why was everyone reading the instructions in full? Like, at least give like, each person a paragraph, like English class or something. Like, why do I need to hear the instructions more than once?
Yes.
Dan Szabo thought that just by putting 50,000, he won it because he was surprised by the tiebreaker question. He was just like, oh, okay, I don't automatically win it. Yeah. No, what about the people before you that may have said 50,000?
No, it does. Everyone, every dollar value can be guessed one time, and he wouldn't have been allowed to guess 50,000 if someone else had already done it.
Yeah, we were in desperate need of a montage.
So much. I promise that the intelligence level of Canadians is higher than what was displayed on TV tonight. I promise.
I mean, the evidence is not in your favor.
I just want to make a point that these are the people that are willing to go on reality TV, okay? We're not smart people.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
All right, well, we did get this.
Invincible H-O-H. Ooh, look at me. You can't see me. I can attack you. I can punch you, but you can't see me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the invincible H-O-H.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And that can punch you and attack you, and you can't do anything about it because they're invincible.
They're invincible.
Mm-hmm.
You think this was just Hope realizing that since he wasn't in the competition, this was only his only chance to get some TV time or to during win, the segment?
I think he was just really upset at the prospect of a competition anyone could win. Like, we have the evidence backed up that he only wants extremely physical competitions for the physically strong to win.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think he's in favor of invincible HOHs, you know, that can hide behind their invincibility. It just doesn't seem like the kind of game that Hope would want to play.
Yeah. I, too, would hate an invincible HOH.
Well, Koozie had some good advice.
No more hugs. People don't want to be hugged.
Yes. She's like, you're supposed to be regal.
Yeah.
Koozie. Stay seated, please.
I hope that they have a chiropractor on hand because Koozie is carrying this season single-handedly on her back.
Yeah.
She must be in so much pain.
Yes.
We all know Koozie would have put 50K.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's not dumb. Like,
at this point, I'm watching BB Can for the plot, and the plot is Big Daddy K. That's it. Because if she weren't there... I don't even want to imagine that world.
I mean, who's the second best person on the show?
For her. I'd say Anika, then Jonathan.
Okay. I'm with you on Anika.
I'm not even sure I know who Anika is.
Yeah, that was unfortunately, that was going
to
be my point.
I had to do like the whole like mental Rolodex to get there.
I mean, do we know who any of these people are? Like, this is not, like, we don't know them and we may never know them. I only hope that after she has won her 100,000, sorry, not 150, that Koozie will hang out with me when she gets home.
Well, that's this guy. As Koozie says,
some people would do a lot for power.
Some people would do a lot for power, including giving up $50,000 that they didn't know existed 5 seconds prior.
I like how because she didn't have to compete, she's able to say that as if it's this like indictment on people that are willing
greedy
to play strategically in this competition. You know, she would have done the same thing so fast.
Well, we do see multiple people do end up betting the 50. I believe it was Dan, Anika, Jonathan, and Santina.
And Ty.
So
then it comes down to the tiebreaker. And none of the guesses were like great. I think based on the numbers that are out there that the average was around like 42,000 and everyone was betting like 49,999, 49,000, 49,000. And then some people were betting 25,000. So
25,050, Taryn.
Oh, sorry.
Come on.
I do, you know, Hope did kind of screw this up because it would have been way easier to estimate averages if there were 10 people, rather than nine competing. But still, I mean, just, you know, just like a little bit of mental math, could probably help you out with this one.
I don't think they even would have thought of that. so with 10,
Wait, really? You don't think they would have thought of that?
Welcome to who was it? Who doing it week?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, this is weird. I did the math and it was 39,555.55. So to see the cents, maybe that just wasn't so far off, but I was very confused by the 49,099.
Like, what? It was terrible.
Why didn't I just say 49,001?
Well, really, I'm like, if you think it's as high as 49,000, then you should just put 50 because it can't be 49,000. like the odds of it being 49,000 are very low. Either everyone put 50 or somebody put decently enough lower that it's like 47 or 48. 49 is going to be very difficult to achieve as an average.
I can't believe no one bet 42,069. Like, it was right there.
Fair. I mean, hey, probably would have worked for them.
They could have.
Or her. They would have averaged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Santina is going to win. And she didn't even know if she wanted to win.
Imagine. Because, like, with a guess... I don't remember, like, if I guess something, I'm not going to remember what I guessed. Well, in this situation, probably, I guess. But imagine someone didn't remember what they put. And she just thought, like, oh, I thought I guessed 50,000 as the average. And then just never knew that she was HOH till they called her into the DR.
I'm surprised they showed the actual winning card, right? That they actually showed the person who had, like, the winning bid.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that.
Because I think you would probably be trying to like, well, whose handwriting is that?
They don't write it.
Hope's girlfriends. We found out.
Yes.
Yeah. The only handwriting they know is Hope's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. But I think you could try to infer like, okay, oh, is that a man's handwriting? Is that a woman's handwriting?
Yeah. Like, do we think that, like, I would assume if I'm looking at Santina's handwriting, probably not going to mistake it for Ty's.
Lots of people have said my handwriting looks like a little boy's. I just don't like, I don't like writing. Yeah. I prefer to type anything.
You'd be great at this.
I mean,
exactly.
This is usually more of a Survivor thing of some sort of a hinky vote and trying to analyze like, what is the writing on the vote that came up? Who is the person that wrote that? You don't really have any times in Big Brother past that I can recall where we are looking at people's handwriting to infer who did a thing.
The chat is saying they think it was either printed by a computer or that a producer wrote a checkout.
Was it just straight up a graphic? I think it might have just been a graphic.
It might have just been a graphic. I got to tell you, I can't see that well. So things are written on the TV screen. There's a 50-50 chance I'm going to see what it says.
Mm-hmm.
This checks out from our perfect match.
Yeah, like I'm very open about that.
Yeah. All right. So Santina is our new HOH and it's a secret HOH. Nobody's going to know. Not a single soul except Jonathan. Jonathan knows. We'll tell Jonathan right away. But beyond Jonathan, not a single other soul will know this anonymous HOH.
To be fair, she said he's the only man she would tell. So that does open a door that she could tell women about it.
It's like one of those Lord of the Ring things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, couldn't be defeated by a man.
Yeah, I definitely fully understand all Lord of the Rings references.
I feel like this is the second secret HOH that's just kind of been like a... So isn't the only way for this to be effective is a penalty nom? You tell a soul, you go on the block. If you tell a soul you want veto, you're on the block. Why can't we do that?
If a certain percentage of the House is able to predict that it's you.
See, I actually think that if you tell anyone about it, you should be ejected from the House. And if you tell someone and they don't go to production about it, they should actually have to leave the game.
Yeah, both
Jonathan and Tiffany
should be ejected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do like this as a, if you're going to ever do this again, and you don't have to do this again, but I wonder, could you have like a House, like after the nominations come in, then maybe like everybody has like a vote to see who the HOH is. And if you get exposed as the HOH, like your HOH is vacated.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think like the issue with that is that you'd never vote for your ally, you know, like even if you thought it was them, you just wouldn't vote for them. So it might be difficult to get a majority vote. So it would have to be some kind of like, if you get a certain amount of votes on you. But I think there are ways to make it work.
Yeah, in reality, we know who the HOH is every week and it doesn't affect anything. So why do we even care who the secret HOH is?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is that like, right. It really just, I mean, that was my issue with the episode is that I felt like we spent half the episode on people writing checks and then the other half of the episode on people just saying names over and over. It's Jonathan. It's Dan. It's Renee. It's Jonathan. It's Dan. It's Claudia. It's Daniel. It's Jonathan. That was the episode.
It's like I'm watching it all over again. Wow. Now I've seen it twice.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's just not that interesting.
It's not. And they didn't have to do this. And hopefully they won't ever do it again. Yeah.
Could they have updated it a little bit instead of like, ooh, write a check? It's like, ooh, you have to Venmo Big Brother how much money.
There's no Venmo in Canada, Rob.
What do you do? Zelle? Well,
all of the banks in Canada have what's called Interac e-transfer, and you can send money directly into anybody's bank account.
Do they
want to
be a sponsor?
Oh, wow.
They don't need to be a sponsor. Everybody just has it by having a bank account.
Can I pay for Wendy's with Interac e-transfer?
When it comes to paying for things.
This sounds like socialist nonsense
Shots
to
fired.
Me, Kirsten.
Oh, my God.
Up there in Canada. Doing
that
things efficiently.
Sounds really
like,
cool.
It's the best. You can just ask for someone's cell phone number or email address. It sends them an email or a text, and they can have auto deposit turned on, so it goes straight into the account. Or they have to click and like put in the password that you tell them in order to get the money. It's very good. You don't need anything else. Everyone should be on board with it.
So you don't have to say, "Do you have Zelle, Venmo, Cash App?"
Just say, "What's your email address?" Do you have a bank account?
Here's the question, though, Kirsten. Does it work for Wendy's points?
Well, if you used your card at Wendy's, sure.
I don't know that. I don't know about that answer.
Someone in the chat asks, what if they're 90 something and don't have a computer because they can't see it or don't know how it works? Well, I don't think those people would be using Venmo either. Like,
mm-hmm. Those people are just trying to win Big Brother so they could retire.
You write them.
Did the Big Brother Canada winners get paid via this e-transfer?
No, you get a check.
The Big Brother Canada players are trying to win $100,000 that will be paid to them by e-transfer info.
It actually might not be a check anymore. I don't know. It was a check a few years ago, 5 years ago. It might not be a check anymore.
All right.
They might actually just do automatic like payroll deposit.
Wow.
Wow. Really in the weeds.
Yeah. Well, what else is there to discuss?
Do Did Santino, did Santino wear the winner's outfit she got as the HOH in the house? And did anybody clock, hey, is that a new outfit?
Yeah, yeah. My my Hope's girlfriend actually sent it to me.
Well, okay. It was in my sock.
She bought a whole like HOH basket of snacks and everything. So like, does she have to go into the DR every time she wants a snack this week?
Yeah, it's like the Coconut Bandits.
Oh man, mm-hmm. I don't think it's anything like that. Actually,
you gotta sneak off to get your goods.
That outfit was horrendous, though. Like, no offense to winners. There have been some good outfits.
No offense to winners. It's fine. Like, Winners is the store where you have to search because the majority of what you see is going to be on the par of that dress. Most things are not so nice. But, like, Winners sponsor me. Like, I'll go searching.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Can we talk about what was the hottest topic of the night while I was streaming and watching this episode, which was if Santina goes to Wendy's and eats with Kiefer, how does she hide the fact that now she might smell a little bit like Wendy's?
Is that like a smell that's going to linger on her hair so strongly?
I kid you not. When I used to be in band class, I could tell the people that left to go get McDonald's.
Oh.
Because they would come back and they would, there's just a fast food smell that
like
lingers.
Weed. I mean, now, McDonald's, yeah.
So Santina did not have a burger. She had French toast sticks. Is that change anything? Because syrup does, have a smell.
I feel like anytime I eat anything with syrup, I end up with it just like on my arms. It doesn't matter how neat I think I'm cleaning it. I'm like, what? How did this get here? Like, what's going on? Like, I thought I was so neat and tidy.
And then it's also like, all right, dinner time. Oh, Santina, are you not hungry? No, I'm very, very, haven't eaten all day. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at these French toast sticks. They're called home style French toast sticks. Okay.
Well, nobody makes French toast sticks in their home.
No.
I've thought about it.
You've thought about it, but yeah, but you
mostly
only do
because
it
of Wendy's.
Yeah, you only do it like at like Burger King or Wendy's. You don't actually make French toast sticks at your house.
Well, it's just French toast, and you slice them, right?
Well, this I think it's you slice it before you make the French toast.
Oh. Yeah, that's I had a whole conversation with Chad about this the other day. That it's you can't just make it and slice it. Then the structural integrity does not exist.
That's just French toast. You know, you have to slice it first.
Here's my question: last week we saw Hope literally at the door with his ear to the door, hearing Spicy V. So this week, there are still 11 people in the house. Where was everybody? Like, when it's down to, like, Final Five, yeah, everybody can have their own room. But where was everybody?
Did they do, like, lockdowns? Like,
this is my theory that solves the whole thing. This is my whodunit. This is my detective moment. I'm going to tell you how they did it. All right? Everyone goes into lockdown. They go into the backyard or maybe even into the real backyard with the hot tub. They stick them in there. They call them in. One by one. But wait, you might ask. Again, what happens when Santina comes back and she smells like French toast sticks. And people are like, give me a hug, Santina. Let me smell your breath. She'll be caught. It'll be easy to catch her. No, because everyone actually got Wendy's when they went inside. So everyone smells like Wendy's, but only Santina got to see Kiefer and have the thing filmed. That's how they did it.
I was with you.
There's
the first
no live feed, so it could be a conspiracy.
What if every single person has to brush their teeth and take a shower before they go into the house, in the backyard?
That was actually my first thought, but that seemed more absurd to me.
No, I like This is a conspiracy theory I can get behind. They took down the live feed so they could actually give everyone Wendy's every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just very confused because people had to be put away together at some point to be far enough from the way that she was squealing. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't quiet. You could hear them from the living room, I'm sure.
I will say, Kiefer, I feel like, gave some good advice. I don't know if Santina's following it, but he was like, make sure you're setting yourself up for the future. Like, this is your opportunity, which was like what she did not do in her first HOH. In my eyes, when Kiefer says that, it's like, so, you know, maybe talk to some more people. Maybe, you know, maybe Jonathan isn't the only person you need to tell. Maybe, you know, use this power to your advantage a little bit. She says she wants to keep it a secret, which, you know, is kind of the point of the twist, but also just like not that great for her game right now because she's already kind of on the outs and she needs this leverage to get back in with people. And she's not really using it like that.
Yeah. It was really great, though, to see Santina as a First Nations house guest get to see Kiefer, who's also like probably the most prominent First Nations house guest that's been on Big Brother Canada so far. So I did like that.
Yeah, that was really cool. Because at first I was thinking, like, why wouldn't they save Spicy V to this week? Which, like, secret HOH to secret HOH.
Well, like, yes. Why didn't
they? She didn't win the week before. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Remember that?
yeah. He was so entertaining.
Why does Santina have a one-sided rivalry with Daniel?
Because he can't promise her anything.
Why does she want to keep putting him on the block?
Well, I think she wanted him gone week one, but then was like convinced otherwise.
Okay, hold on. I got.
Just call me the Grim Kiefer. I am ripping these duos apart.
Kiefer. Yeah, Kiefer had all of the good lines down.
I mean, she just hasn't really had. Here's the problem with Dan. Pretty much anyone he talks to that isn't Shania or Ty now, and it used to be Zach as well, he basically just has that version of that conversation with them. Hey, what's up? You want to talk game? That's chill. Yeah, I mean, I can't promise you anything, but like, we're chill.
I do think also, like, Dan is very clearly someone that has not seen a lot of Big Brother in his day. And I do think he may have bought into the myth that by being on Big Brother Canada, he's going to be able to be like a full-time influencer, which is just not really the case. So I think that's also why he was willing to bet 50K on the HOH.
In
he's coming
fairness,
to make more than that on Instagram.
This guy's got jokes for days. Did you hear the one about the person that ate too many carrots and turned orange?
So funny.
It wasn't even a joke. You just said, I'm trying to figure out a joke with that concept.
Yes.
Well, do you think he was just really thinking about his favorite episode of The Magic School Bus when Arnold turns orange and he was going from there?
Mm-hmm. It can happen.
It's not impossible.
I guess so. Yeah. Shania and Dan, they've
seems
been
to like it.
They've been bonding. She, you know, Rob is gone. And Dan is here, and Dan is making jokes, and they've got a similar style of humor. She also thinks about
she likes to make
jokes
crude
sometimes.
Jokes with him.
Yeah,
in Shania's mind, she thought that the whole Rob situation played out on the episodes. So I wonder, is she overthinking? Like, oh, I'm in a second showmance. What is Canada going to think?
Yeah.
It's like, girl, we saw none of that on the episode.
Well, and I also think, like, whenever she talks about herself, like, in her, like, intro package and all that, she talked a lot about how people think she's funny and how she's so funny. And so, like, I mean, we haven't seen any evidence either way on it, so I have no idea if she's funny or not. But, like, if she is, imagine being, like, a really genuinely funny person and you're sitting there with Dan trying to think of a joke. Painful.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens.
It happens.
And that's the question. Do truly funny people, like Rob, you're a funny guy.
Oh, thanks, Asia.
You don't have to just sit and think about your jokes. They just come.
On a good day. Other times I have to ask ChatGPT.
I mean, do you think ChatGPT could come up with a joke about
eating too many carrots? I'm one step ahead of you. ChatGPT has really struggled here. I asked, can you make a joke about a person who ate too many carrots and turned orange? And ChatGPT, and this is ChatGPT 4, I might add, has got nothing. They don't even make sense. Why did the person who ate too many carrots get a job at the bank? They had a great eye for depeeling the interest. What does that even mean?
Oh,
well, they say carrots make your eyesight better. So that's that part.
Mm-hmm.
But then they went too far with the peeling thing.
I just think that it would have, like, there's already the, like, orange, you glad I didn't say banana. It's like something like that. We don't need it. It's fine.
Why did the orange person get invited to every party? They always brought the carrot aesthetic atmosphere.
Just facts. Yeah, that's not a joke. That's serious.
Mm-hmm. Why did the orange person go to jail? Is that one? I'm not sure.
No, that's why did the orange person go to jail?
But it's just orange blood. I didn't say banana.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the way that you have to handle like payments during an election?
E-transfer, right?
E-transfer, yeah.
Mm.
No, Cash App.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we solved the whodunit just now. Ty goes on an apology tour, kind of. Him and Koozie clear the air. And him and Claudia are going to reunite because they're both introverts. And now, you know, now things are different between them. He can trust her now. And it has nothing to do with the fact that Zach's not there.
I do not agree with the idea of Ty apologizing. That doesn't seem to be something in his wheelhouse. But I guess
I mean, I don't think those words were said necessarily. Yeah, but
it's the type of person who's like, I owe you an apology. And it's like, okay, so say you're sorry. They're like, it's all over now. We're done. We've moved on.
Is there hope for Ty in a post Zach world of the, like, that basically like all of the bad stuff that sort of blame Zach and like throw Zach under the bus?
I don't think so with Ty. Well, like, because of who Ty is, I think in any other scenario, it would be possible for a person to move forward after this Zach situation. But I think Ty has too much of an ego to really kind of see his wrong in the whole situation. He's trying to paint the picture that Zach was the only person in the wrong. He's not Zach. He's his own player.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just like, no, you thought you were running the house too. You also were trying to get people to do things you wanted to do. So I think it's only a matter of time before he's back to being that Ty. And then they'll forget this whole situation happened and target him again.
He's not the type of person who can fade into the background. Like, I think he is always going to be trying to exert control. And so he's just going to shoot himself in the foot again, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is kind of where we are. Dan couldn't promise anything. And so Santina and Jonathan are going to discuss their options. And it seems like this is going to land on Ty and Dan. But Santina wants Dan to be the one that goes. Now, a big part of this, on top of the fact that Dan can't promise anything, is that Dan has also performed really well in challenges. And that's, you know, it's threatening is when he can't promise you anything.
Yes.
Yeah. He can't even make something up. So
yeah,
he doesn't care. Yeah.
We get the hacker from BB20 coming in to, reveal the nominations.
Spooky. Oh, it's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
And, Renee has the biggest reaction, to the nominee.
She can't help it. It's who she is.
It just, if I were sitting in that room, I would be like, yep, she's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like, wait, okay, if you're so shocked, who did you think was going up? Because it's not that she would have expected them to go up, but the fact that she doesn't know who the HOH is, she should have no idea.
Yeah. In a room full of 11 people, two of them just went on the block, and I can't believe it was these two and not two of the other of the 11.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Well, Ty and Dan on the block.
I mean, were they these shocking nominations if anybody else had been the HOH? I honestly have no idea. Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah.
Half the house thought it was Jonathan and half the house thought Jonathan was going to do exactly this.
Well, Jonathan, he had like such a bad poker face. That's like, oh, well, do you see how excited Jonathan is? It must be him. He must be the HOH.
Yeah. Can't really fault Ty for that one. Kind of a right read just for the wrong reasons. All right. Well, Ty and Dan on the block, not looking great for them. I wonder what will happen next. Anything else from this episode that we should talk? Any other whodunits?
Go ahead.
Okay. No, you. So I was confused when Daniel C. sat down and he was like, oh, I don't know a number I should choose. I want to make the move, but I don't want to put too much, or he didn't want to do it or whatever. What is the move in his eyes?
I mean,
wouldn't it be nice to know? I would love to know.
There's plenty of moves, right?
Right.
There's
so many people that he could put up.
Literally, it could be any combination of the other 10.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It would be nice to know. There was also unseen clip released, I think, today, just talking about some Canadian geography. And I do just think Renee and Ty should be condemned for the way that they did not know where Manitoba is. Like, there's only 10 provinces and 3 territories. It is not a big project to know where they are. And they were like, is Manitoba a city? Is it a province? Where is it? It's literally the province next door to them. It's embarrassing. And they need to be dragged on the record for that.
When you put it like that, That's wild. Puts that whole clip in a new perspective, because that would be like me saying, is Arkansas a city or a state?
Yeah.
And we have 50 states. So 10 provinces and they don't know all 10?
Yeah. It's not good. And I feel like it was like grade 1 or 2 when they were like, memorize all the provinces and their capitals. So not good.
All right. Well,
that's funny.
We do have some spoilers that we can talk about. We have some veto results and who
secret
is
veto.
Looking like secret veto results, indeed.
The
yes.
Invisible veto.
More of a who won it.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's get to some spoilers then. Here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, here we go. Here's some music from the episode just to set the mood
set
for
the
us.
Mood.
Okay, so Ty and Dan are on the block. Okay, they played in the veto competition.
Ooh, this is epic.
And Daniel won the veto. And he currently plans to use it
I don't know. I think Asia won the veto. Did you see her reaction?
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
I was shocked. Someone won the veto?
Someone won the veto, and it was Daniel. He wanted to use it on Ty. He pitched that plan to Jonathan and Hope, who agreed that using the veto on Ty, since Dan was the target anyway, is a good way to buy some credit with Ty to sort of like get in with him in the event that he does not win next week. So Daniel used the veto on Ty, and Claudia went up in his place. The target still presumably is Dan, and it's looking pretty straightforward from there.
So the Dan that won the veto is not the Dan that's on the block.
No.
Yeah.
Got it.
There's Daniel and Dan S.
Mm-hmm. Zabo.
Yeah, that's who's on the block.
Yes. Dan on the block, no veto. Daniel, not on the block, used the veto. And Claudia really fall from grace here as she went from like the best position last week to now on the block next to Dan this week. But again, the rest of this week should be fairly straightforward. There's not really a reason to take Claudia out over Dan at this point in time. There's a new alliance, it seems.
What's it called?
We don't know that there's a name.
Well, let's name it.
Who's in it?
Jonathan, Hope, and the Shady Bunch. Kuzi, Daniel, and Anika. They are a 5-person alliance. And this is what I meant when I said Santina does not really seem to be taking advantage of her HOH, considering the fact that a new alliance was made under her HOH using her nominations, and she is not seemingly a part.
Jonathan, Hope, Kuzi, Anika, and who?
Daniel.
People in the chat are saying that it's called the Crown.
The Crown? Monarchy is out.
They could be the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
They're not super hot either.
Yes. This seems to be kind of like the new power alliance in the game, but time can only tell. The women are still kind of loosely aligned. The girly pops plus Daniel are with Kuzi and Anika. And so that, of course, means that the Shady Bunch sits right at the center of the whole house here.
Okay.
And let's see what happens next. What a dream.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't trust that Daniel will be loyal to this five. So it just feels like, what does it all mean?
Where else will he go?
Ty.
He loves Zach. I couldn't believe it the other night when I was watching. I was like, Daniel shocking. Was like in the diary room, like, oh, I love Zach. He's my best friend in the house. I don't want him to leave.
Yeah. And at this point, we have no clue. Like, we're assuming Dan is going. What if something happens to where Claudia goes? Or they want to weaken Ty?
It's theoretically possible, but I think the better way to weaken Ty is by taking Dan out because Dan is loyal to Ty and they really are threatened by his competition ability. So it seems pretty unlikely to me that that Claudia would leave at this point, especially considering that the Shady Bunch is kind of going to be in control of the votes and they are aligned straight up with the girly pops. And they obviously don't have anything with Dan, who can't promise anybody anything. So,
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'd love for Daniel to stand up.
Please.
Yeah. Is Zach from BB Can on Cameo yet?
I don't know.
I doesn't pray seem like it. Doesn't no. Look like it.
Not yet.
Well, I can't believe he wasn't on Cameo before he even started. I heard he was the Kim Kardashian of Ottawa. Everybody already knew who he was.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be. She makes too much money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's been a pretty, I don't know if you could tell, it's been a pretty slow week. Today's drop consisted of basically zero content.
Zero?
Basically zero, yeah. Because all we had was, like, there were two conversations in my notes for the update today, both of which would have never made it to a regular live feed update. They would have just been skipped over.
Yeah, so Zach from Big Brother Canada is not available on Cameo, but that if I may, this is a new one that I haven't seen. You can get Daniel Durston as Elvis on Cameo. Wow. Seen on TV.
What did I do to deserve this? Like, why do I have to see this right now?
Only $149.
Oh my God.
What? You don't know a personalized message from Daniel Durston Elvis?
No, and he should have to pay me $149 for having to see that. Ugh.
Season just got boring.
Here we go. Okay, Rob as Daniel Durston as Elvis.
That's pretty good. It was good impression.
I really need a cameo for my friend Taryn. His birthday was this week. Please, can you please deliver? He's a podcaster. That's all I, you know, and he likes plain yogurt.
Hey, Taryn, I heard you had a very special birthday this week. We'll take it from the king, from one king to another, the king of the live feeds. So when there used to be one, live feeds are dead, just like me, baby. Elvis. Live feeds have left the building. Shout out. Rack me, I'm out.
Oh, I love it.
Oh no. Oh my God.
We have a new spokesperson for Julie's merch.
Oh man.
That alone was better than the whole episode.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't bring enough Daniel Durston into it.
No.
Yeah.
Any Daniel Durston is too much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right.
We did it.
We did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Taryn, when I saw today that update was 14 minutes,
It didn't need to be either. Just like this podcast didn't need to be 54.
It hasn't even hit my podcast feed yet. 14 minutes is so funny.
It's like genuinely 11 minutes down of just talking about the fact that we didn't have anything.
It's literally like when the feeds were down for 2 days and Taryn and Puya just popped up on a Friday with like Orwell the Owl for no reason.
I'm serious at this point. I think that production should be like, hey, Hope's girlfriend. Got any more of those letters?
Right. That was gold. Yeah.
Hope's girlfriend, send us a letter. Give us something.
I'd love to hear from Hope's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. She talked to Spicy V apparently on their podcast. Yeah,
had an interview with her.
Oh boy. That seems like an unfair advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that might be going a little too far. I think a note is good. Whole podcast. Eh.
All right. Well,
evicted, yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get a bit more in tomorrow night's episode. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow night after Rob finishes up with the know-it-alls after Survivor airs. So you can tune in for that. I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn. I've been watching the episode live. Rob, what do you got going on?
Yeah, I was just thinking about like Survivor and Big Brother Canada, kind of like the inverse, because on Survivor, like there's too much going on. We don't even know. We can't even follow what's going on. There's just so much happening that we don't understand it. So a little bit of two ends of the spectrum, but it's going to be a big episode coming up on Survivor this week. So be sure to join us live for the Know-It-Alls, of course. Lots of great Survivor podcasts this week, including when I spoke with Asia's co-host over on Perfect Match, a Married at First Sight recap, as Jason Reed joined me for the Survivor Feedback Show this week. So very fun one. Check that out and get ready for Wednesday night Survivor.
Yeah. And of course, I'll be back tomorrow with another update on what might be occurring in the house. Will it be more or less than 14 minutes? Wait and see. Asia, what do you got going on?
Yeah. So everyone, if you're watching the YouTube video, you can see my lovely new sign behind me. Thanks to one of my very best friends for gifting me that. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Asia Like Asia. It's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Right now, I'm in the thick of covering Married at First Sight with my lovely co-host, Jason Reed. So we're having a great time talking about that. If you subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed, you can get all of our podcasts there. What you can also get there is our coverage of Mary Kukowski and I's coverage of Love is Blind. We have one more drop coming. And then next week, we are going to be live after a special live reunion of Love is Blind. So Netflix is doing something new. So we'll see how it goes. So that will be very fun. So catch us there. And then also I made an appearance over on Post Show Recap talking about season 4 of You. So I joined LaTanya Starks. Yeah. And Marissa Garza. Not you, like the show You. Yeah.
You didn't do a podcast talking about Taryn on Post Show Recap?
Yeah, we were just talking about how amazing he is. That had a lot of fun there. And anything else I'm up to? Well, I guess, I'll be talking about Survivor this week on the Stock Watch with Taryn. So keep a lookout for that. And then, anything else I'm up to, you can follow me.
All right. Kirsten, what do you got going on?
Yeah, so you can follow me everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, at Kirsten Said What, and you can hear me breaking down pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics with Sasha Joseph over on Mess Magnets. So if you like, controversy, like last week at BB Can, we bring that every week on Mess Magnets. As well, Riverdale is back. So I'm back on Kowski Cast with Mary talking about the final season of Riverdale, which will hopefully be done soon.
Okay. Now, I asked ChatGPT to write the outline of a serialized drama based on Taryn.
Oh. Okay.
Premise. Taryn Armstrong, a professional Big Brother podcaster, navigates the world of reality TV, reporting on the Big Brother live feeds. But as Taryn gains popularity, he becomes more deeply involved in the game, including a web of drama, intrigue, and secrets. Okay? Taryn, this is like going through the whole episodes. So the outline goes, introduction, the rising podcaster, the unexpected invitation where Taryn receives an invitation to visit the Big Brother house as a guest. Taryn's friends and followers encourage him to accept the offer. Taryn visits the house, meeting the contestants, getting a taste of the game. But then there's a new twist. Oh, he hates twists. The producer of Big Brother proposed a twist involving Taryn's participation in the game. And Taryn's friends and followers are divided over whether or not he should accept the challenge. He reluctantly agrees, believing it will boost his podcast visibility. He would not do that. That's just...
Well, it's fiction. It's a fiction they lost show.
The plot. They lost the plot a little bit. Okay. And then Taryn becomes an official Big Brother contestant facing new challenges and alliances. And then the lines between Taryn's podcasting life and Big Brother life blur. Taryn struggles to maintain his integrity as a podcaster while playing the game. And Taryn's popularity skyrockets as fans are enthralled by his unique position in the game. And fellow contestants become suspicious of Taryn's intentions, leading to drama and betrayal. Taryn's friends in the podcasting world report on his progress, sometimes exacerbating the tensions.
Taryn.
Unfortunately, Taryn's secret alliance is exposed, leading to a major shakeup in the game. Taryn's podcasting friends are put in a difficult position, I'll say, questioning their loyalty. And then Taryn must adapt his strategy to survive the fallout. Ultimately, Taryn is confronted with the consequences of his actions in the game and in his podcasting career. His friends and colleagues rally around him, offering support and forgiveness. I don't know why we have to forgive him.
What did you do, Taryn?
He's supposed to be a journalist. and he violated his one rule, no twists. And Taryn faces a critical decision. In the finale, Taryn reaches the final stages of the competition. He must make a compelling case to the jury. and the tension between Taryn's big brother persona and his podcasting identity reaches a climax. The winner is revealed, with Taryn's future hanging in the balance. Ultimately, Taryn returns to podcasting life, armed with new insights and experiences. His friendships and relationships are strengthened through the challenges they face, and Taryn continues to cover Big Brother with renewed passion and an insider's perspective. So it all works.
Wait, did he win?
I think, I don't know.
I don't think he did. I think they would have told us if he won
season two.
You gotta watch. Maybe he wouldn't. So, Damon Lindelof, you can get on that one. let's get it to HBO.
Now, would this be a post-show recap? And then who's doing the post-show recap?
Wow. I think there'd be a fight for who would do that.
It could be on the Rob and Josh. It's a
scripted
recapping.
Show about reality TV. I think it would be. It should be in the Big Brother feed, if I'm being honest.
Maybe it goes
off feeds. I think that's getting a little cute with the feeds, Rob.
Oh, boy.
I love it.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I guess that's what we have for you tonight. Thank you all so much for joining us. This is what you get when you stay for the shout outs and the plugs at the end.
Don't leave
early. Sometimes get gold. So that's what we have for you. Thank you all so much for joining us. And we will see all of you next time.